opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Before we begin, everyone do me a favor and read a little thing I wrote called The Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency? Yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter. Nope. I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Hey, Bitcoin Maxis. It's the Tokens Radio Show with our hosts, Christy Matthews, Linda Kent, and Cameron Walford.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you. It's good to have you here. And thank you, producer Travis. And we're so sad to say that he's not going to be with us anymore.
What are we going to do?
Happy Father's Day, by the way.
Thank you, yeah.
Yeah, it's happy Father's Day to everybody.
Not in person, but in spirit.
So you're going to be joining us today, right?
Sure. Hold
on. Oh, that'd be great.
I can hardly hear.
Yeah, I can hardly hear, too. Can you turn me up a little bit?
What color are you?
I'm the left one. Just a little technical things here, folks.
How's that?
Well, this is the Tokens Radio Show where we talk about all things crypto, blockchain, and Web3. My name's Christy Matthews.
I'm Linda Kent.
And I'm Cameron Walfort.
It's great to have you here. You know, you can find us on Telegram and Twitter at Tokens Radio Show. And the chat room is open at kcnr1460.com. You can give us a call at 530-605-4567. And if you missed our last show, you can catch the replay at tokensradioshow.com. So later we're going to be talking about the crypto bear market. That seems to be what's in the news, and we should be talking about it because everything else really doesn't matter.
Well, there's a lot in that market to talk about. Let's be honest here, you know.
And remember, the scammers are out there in full force, so be safe. This is an opportune time. They have phishing scams, anything that they can do to try to get you to click on a link. Be sure to check your URL addresses, check your emails, and make sure that any emails that you're getting are from emails that you recognize.
Yeah, and it's not just to do with cryptocurrency or Bitcoin. They're out there with everything right now. Just be very careful.
Yeah, it's real interesting times. But before we get started, here's a word from one of our affiliate partners.
And here we go.
Esau.
We're having a little technical difficulties. Work with us here.
Yes.
Hang on.
I saw the little button.
Tokens Radio Show has partnered with Swan Bitcoin. We are Swan Bitcoin customers and chose them because Swan is, well, easy to work with and inexpensive. Set up a Bitcoin savings plan and never miss out on the dips. It's perfect for both new and experienced Bitcoiners. Get the free book, Inventing Bitcoin, the technology behind the first truly scarce and decentralized money, and earn $10 of Bitcoin when you use our affiliate link, swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. That's swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow.
Yeah, those Swan people are great, and it's still the best place to be for dollar-cost averaging.
And this is the best time to be dollar-cost averaging in recent history, I would say.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. And it's a great opportunity out there.
So what you got for us today?
Okay. Well, crypto speak this word. This week's word is FOMO, fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, I think this goes across so many different areas, not just crypto, but, you know, people do a lot of different things when you have fear.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's in cryptocurrency, it's the stock market, whatever, people will make bad choices sometimes.
Right.
Because of the fear factor. Oh, my God, I'm going to miss out. I'm not going to be a part of this. You know, they start running all the different scenarios in their head, freak themselves out, and then they do stuff that later is not so good sometimes. So just beware that you're in the crypto world right now. You're not going to miss out necessarily. You're not late to the ship, so to speak, in a lot of ways. And we're going to go over more of that in this program. But people go, oh, my God, you know, it's doing this or it's doing that. And what do I do? And I better, you know. And so they'll go buy what we call crap coin, for example, and get themselves in trouble. So anyway, that's the word of the week, FOMO.
And, you know, with FOMO, usually we're familiar with it on run-ups. But it works in the reverse, too. Right now, with what we're seeing with the decline in the market, is that there's the fear that I'm losing my investment. And so people will get out of the market when maybe if they can just hold on, they'll be just fine because this will recover.
And hopefully, I'm sorry, camera, but hopefully after this show, they'll have more education of how the markets work and the roller coaster and exactly what is going on here.
Well, today we're bringing conspiracy into more of the factual realm.
The truth.
Yes.
And I would say right now the market is definitely, well, I mean, it's obviously a great time for dollar cost averaging, but if you are a trader and you have your finger on the pulse, this is a very interesting time to be watching it and chasing it. And as long as you're not making those FOMO trades, I mean, you can be looking at how this market's going, and if you're just evaluating any given project, you can see that they are all, well, not all, because there are projects that are penny and they're overvalued because they offer nothing. So, but you could be looking at projects that actually bring something to the table. And if you're looking at anything that's backed by Bitcoin, then you're looking at something that is backed by something else that is inherently undervalued. So you can look forward to, you know, a hopefully 2-3x rise just from the Bitcoin ride up when the market bounces back. But then some of these projects are 10% of what they could realistically be sustainable at.
Well, we're hitting another 1990s period, another Y2K period. So it's very interesting times to be living through this again. I didn't think I'd see it in my lifetime again, but it's very interesting.
So, it's a little bit different, but yeah, we never thought that we would have to worry about what we're having to worry about.
Well, one thing I think that maybe we'll all agree here that we are definitely in the Great Reset. As much as it pains me to say that, I think that we're well along the road to the Great Reset.
I'll have to agree with that.
And we're going to be presenting some facts here to prove that point, and we'd love to have your input to whether you agree, disagree, want to join in the conversation. So,
and we're going to get Travis in on this
absolutely.
I think, today, you know.
So remember, our phone number is 530-605-4567. Give us a call in. We'd love to hear from you and get into the chat room at KCNR1460.com. And, you know, to tee this off, we have a story that we want to share with you, and this is going back in history. It's about the very first bicycle, and it was called the Lauf machine. It was created in 1817 by a German, and this bike, maybe if you can remember pictures of this bike with a huge front wheel and a small back wheel. But this bike wasn't connected with the chain. It didn't have pedals. It's just something that you had to use your feet and you coasted. And this bike would take you about 7 kilometers in an hour. Okay, so it got you fairly good distance, but people thought that this was absolutely ridiculous, and they didn't think that this thing would grow, but bicycles did grow, and they improved upon this bicycle. And back in the 1800s, there were bicycles all over the place. In fact, so many bicycle manufacturers, it was build a bike, regardless of the quality of the bike, it would still sell. It was a huge market. And what happened is when the market finally settled down, the not-so-quality builders left the market. But there were other businesses that were born out of that period of time, and one is the Dunlop Tire Company. They've been around since the 1800s, 1880,
I believe. Wow, I didn't realize that long.
And it was born out of this period of time of creating the bicycle. So it's a very long article here, but I'm just going to hit a couple of things in here. It says, you know, bicycle stocks became so popular and rose so quickly that the Financial Times devoted a section of its daily newspaper to the industry, and then they created a cycling magazine. And then finally, out of the blue, the cycling sector in the middle of, it's almost 1900, fell. The bicycle index just collapsed, and it collapsed more than 70% in value from its peak. And by 1900, half of all the bicycle companies that had gone public were no longer in business. So it's very similar to what's going on today.
I was going to say, if you stop and look at comparison,
yes,
there's a lot of bikes that are getting out there now. If you stop and think about
right.
it, we're kind of going back in time with that.
And look how many, how the bicycle did take off and how many actually utilized that technology. And Cameron, you were talking about the automobile when we were off air just a little while ago. And crypto's gone through many boom and bust cycles uh-huh. as well. And right now we're at a significant decline. But this is just one of the cycles, and the last time we went through this, Bitcoin fell about 85% from its peak before rising 20 times, 20x, in the next cycle. So there's the skeptics calling cryptocurrency a scam and dangerous, but I really don't think so.
If I could just touch on that little car metaphor real quick, where people are seeing that or claiming that crypto may be a scam and dangerous. A lot of people can't see the issues with the current system until it's extremely in their face, as we got to touch on a little bit earlier. And a good example of this is prior to having automobiles, people obviously weren't thinking this is a very slow means of transportation, riding around on their horse. It's what they were used to, accustomed to. They've been doing it thousands of years. And then by the 1800s, they'd gotten so good at producing horses that there was going to be a problem where the horse poop was going to be blocking the road, essentially, and it was going to be flooding into the waters and ruining everyone's lives. So a very small amount of people that did see that problem got ahead of it, the little Satoshis of the time, and they made the automobile. And while it was extremely expensive and early on probably not much faster than a horse, so a lot of people couldn't see the practical application of it. It solved a problem that most right. people had no clue was coming and would have been essentially the end of modern progression in society.
Right.
So what we're seeing now is the rails or the poop is piling up with the financial system.
Right.
And luckily we have an alternative that we just now need to make that transition toward.
Yeah, we do have the options available to us.
Right. If you don't mind, I'd like to continue with the poop metaphor, if you don't mind. And I honestly believe that this poop metaphor, or the poop time, started around 1971 when we got off the gold standard. And we like to play a couple of cuts here for you just so that we can tee up a progression of what's been going on since the 70s and how it has really accelerated here, especially in the last 2 years. But let's okay. let you listen for yourself. And Travis, would you please play number two?
In recent weeks, the speculators have been waging an all-out war
this is Richard
on the
Nixon.
American dollar. The strength of a nation's currency is based on the strength of that nation's economy. And the American economy is by far the strongest in the world. Accordingly, I have directed the Secretary of the Treasury to take the action necessary to defend the dollar against the speculators. I have directed Secretary Connolly to suspend temporarily the convertibility of the dollar into gold or other reserve assets, except in amounts and conditions determined to be in the interest of monetary stability and in the best interest of the United States. Now, what is this action, which is very technical? What does it mean for you? Let me lay to rest the bugaboo of what is called devaluation. If you want to buy a foreign car or take a trip abroad, market conditions may cause your dollar to buy slightly less. But if you are among the overwhelming majority of Americans who buy American-made products in America, your dollar will be worth just as much tomorrow as it is today.
So you just...
Well, back in that time, the U.S. wrote more checks than it had gold in the bank. And people in countries rushed to exchange their checks for gold. Nixon took us off the gold standard and implemented the petrodollar at that time. So we'll fast forward to what Jerome Powell just said the other day.
Looking forward, rapid changes are taking place in the global monetary system that may affect the international role of the dollar in the future. Most major economies already have or are in the process of developing instant 24/7 payments. Our own FedNow service will be coming online in 2023. And in light of the tremendous growth in crypto assets and stablecoins, we are examining whether a U.S. central bank digital currency would improve upon what is an already safe and efficient domestic payment system. As our white paper on this topic notes, a U.S. CBDC could also potentially help maintain the dollar's international standing.
Oh, he just said it, didn't he? He said the CBDC.
Yes, he did.
There's no surprise. You know, they have already tested that coin. They're not in testing. They know it works. It's just a matter of deploying it. They're going to deploy it in 2023, if not sooner, and it's tied to the ISO 20022 standard. So, as we say, the central bank transition has begun and has been pushing their agenda, and other countries are pushing back, you know, like Russia and China. Look at, are they affected by being out of the SWIFT system at all?
Well, they're affected, but it's for the good.
For their countries,
yeah,
it's for
their
good.
Country, it's actually for the good.
If I could just chime in real quick.
Of course you can.
You said it began with the debasing of the dollar.
Right.
Now, I think inherently it's much more similar to the horse situation in that we were doing the best we could with something that was just inherently not as good as what progress was going to bring. So the fiat system, independent of the gold backing, it was always based on a degree of trust. So we had to count on no president
right.
prior to Nixon debasing it in that same fashion. And that's where the inherent problem with any centrally backed currency comes. Is you have to trust someone, no matter how you develop it or design it, if it's physical, you have to trust someone with it. And technology made it so we don't need that anymore.
That's
we
right.
don't need to trust anyone. Bitcoin can't be, there's no gold backing it, and that's its own, what goes on to back it, we could do a whole show on. But independently of that, the changes made to it cannot be made without consensus of a majority and an infeasible majority at this point.
Well, yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, it's not like you can just push the button and print more.
Yeah.
No. You know what I mean?
Well, unless it's a CBDC.
Well,
so then,
yeah,
that's why I specified
true.
The Bitcoin.
Right.
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
But like Bitcoin, I mean, we all know with fiat, all they have to do is just keep printing, then there's nothing
right.
there. And I think that's where a lot of people think that cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, is a scam. I think it's kind of a mindset that they can't wrap their head around all the way because of the way the fiat system works.
It's a different paradigm.
I would say that there are things that people can benefit from aspects of the fiat system to carry into the crypto world. There are uncapped currencies that end up doing
sure.
very well, and it's worked into a much more math than I would care to do on designing something on how they go about their rates on releasing new tokens or coins, stuff like that. So I don't want to just poop on the idea altogether of, of what all these other things could offer. But where Bitcoin and then decentralized crypto in general comes in is that changes are made based on a consensus of actual users, consumers, enterprises, everyone. No one's got an extra hand in the pot, so to speak. And that could even be true with CBDCs to a degree. So what you're talking about is if it's coded in there that they can change it, then of course they can change it. Now, if we have a very educated society, if everyone does their due diligence before investing in a vote, people can take the time and actually analyze what it is that's being offered by this currency. And it could feasibly be that every holder of this currency has to accept a change, or, you know, 51% of the holders of the currency need to accept a change, which, if we're just going by the amount of currency being held, there's a big issue there, because 1% of humanity holds the vast majority of money. So if we convert to a currency that is essentially a proof-of-stake mechanism, we could have 1% of humanity controlling all of our funds, which right. wouldn't be great, obviously. Well, sorry for the rant.
No, it's fine. But that would be that if everybody really understood what was happening.
In a perfect world.
I'd like to have us listen to cut number 4 and see what your take is on this.
We pre-announced our plans to pilot this. We called it Wells Fargo Digital Cash. And that same year, many, many other solutions were announced, some with caution and success, and others not so much. Central bank digital currencies became a for reals thing because, well, like I like to say, nothing unites like a perceived common enemy.
Oh. Okay, that's it, folks. The perceived common enemy is decentralized alternative currencies, such as Bitcoin, DeFi. Mm-hmm. They cannot control that, and to get the bankers to unite is to have the perceived common enemy, which would take the bankers out of that system.
I was going to say just that, to touch on that, it's not just that they can't control DeFi or crypto or whatever, a decentralized cryptocurrency. It's very largely that crypto is designed to make them obsolete. And that's where you really have to have some ears and a brain when it comes to analyzing what you're hearing about crypto, especially on a negative light, because it is in a very small group of people who control quite a large sum of money. It's in their best interest to protect the dollar that they're holding and not give way to crypto, as for pretty much every major financial institution is counting on crypto failing.
But it makes it so that they can't manipulate you,
right?
Like they like to right and now.
That's what I mean.
And what they're trying to do, it's like what you just to allude what you were saying, Cameron, is that the largest institutional players have moved billions of dollars worth of Bitcoin and XRP onto Coinbase because they plan on dumping it into the marketplace. That will drive the prices down, and these whales will come back. They'll see the prices go down, and then they'll come back and they'll rebuy it at a low price. But they'll get people to FOMO out and sell their cryptos because they're afraid that this is going to go to zero. And this is by design, folks. It
just
really
like
is.
Just like a lot of things that people need to realize.
How we doing?
Get your information.
How we doing, Travis? Is this making sense to you?
Sure. My only question is, I hear the crash of crypto being compared to the crash of, like, the stock market. Is that the same or is that different?
There's some similarities to it, but as a stock of the are you talking about the stock market crash of 1929 with the Great Depression?
That's what I'm hearing, yeah, from people.
I don't think it will be like that because there are protections in the system to make that from having runs on the banks.
Which is in the blockchain, correct?
Well, they're still tied to the same systems to a certain extent. Bitcoin is not in the fiat rails, but you're using it, they run parallel. So there's protections from having runs on the bank. So you're going to have some protections from running on the crypto exchanges as well, just like they've just shut down some of the exchanges last week to stall some of those sales. And does that make sense?
Yeah, do some of these Bitcoin companies can last longer than smaller companies?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely.
It all depends on the use of the token,
right,
too.
So it's really cool. It's fascinating. Yeah, so yeah. I'm curious to see what you say. Yeah.
Okay, so as far as comparing it to stocks go, what I would think is a better comparison is to looking at or what happened is not as comparable because it's more comparable to the dollar in 2008 in its own sense, and that's because a cryptocurrency that was not inherently perfect was essentially claiming to be, and they made their own dollar. And that dollar essentially came with the same problems of fiat in that they were able to overspend this dollar and debase it on their own. And the debasing of this currency while being tethered to a whole bunch of other currencies sent like a spike, a negative spike in the market. And that leads to panic and all kinds of fun things.
Yeah.
So that panic sell-off because of one major movement is very similar to stock market crash or something like that. But where the root of the problem came from is essentially pegging to the United States dollar and then how we go to how debasable it was. Sorry, we have to go into a break.
Yeah,
so I'll try
that.
To shorten that.
Okay, I'm learning here.
We're going to go to a break. And when we return, we'll continue this conversation. I'm sure we got a lot more we want to cover with about the reset. You are listening to Tokens Radio Show on KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Tutankhamun, wonderful things, treasures from the Pharaoh's tomb is open now through September 5th in Reading at Turtle Bay Museum, featuring authentic reproductions of King Tut's ancient Egyptian treasures. Presented by Senator Kay Maurice and Marianne Johannesson in association with the Museum of Ancient Wonders. This exhibition is included with paid park admission, free for Turtle Bay members. Tutankhamun, wonderful things, treasures from the Pharaoh's tomb, open now through September 5th at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Choose from a tasty half-pound burger, pepperoni pizza, sandwich or hot dog with a side of fries, potato or macaroni salad, and dessert. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to 2495 Athens Avenue, north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center, where our food speaks for itself.
And we're back.
And we're cutting it up here. Well, you know, this is a time when fortunes can be made. And to make a fortune in crypto, you have to be right just once. Which crypto projects could be the next Amazon, Google, Netflix, or Apple? Those companies emerge from market conditions just as we have now. Banks who have the most to lose are trying to regulate the industry, just like we were talking about before the break.
Yeah.
What options are available to you? Being part of a crypto community like Crypto Confidential that knows what to buy it, how to keep it safe, when to sell it, and how to minimize taxes when you do is crucial more than ever. A subscription to Crypto Confidential is just a fraction of what you would pay to retain experts. Crypto Confidential is not only accessible when you need them, they are a team of the world's best, boldest, and brightest crypto experts around. They have bi-monthly AMAs, a private forum, in-person events, a monthly print publication. Once you give them a try, you can check them out on tokensradioshow.com/CC. That's tokensradioshow.com/CC. And see if it's for you. They give you a 60-day money-back guarantee. Think you'll like them.
That's pretty amazing.
They are amazing people. So before we went to the break, we were breaking down the Great Reset. And we'd like to take you down a little bit farther down this progression of time. And before we got on air today, Linda and I were talking about how, you know, we think that this might have even, or at least I allege, that this went probably back to 9/11, 2001.
Oh, easy.
I think
yeah.
that that's where a lot of, you know, more of the money printing started up and led to the Great Recession in 2008. And so in 2008, of course, you know, we had a massive financial collapse. The housing collapsed. We were having all kinds of weird loans that you can get, you know, liar loans, and you didn't have to have any kind of income to qualify. It was really crazy times, and it led to a huge housing bubble, and it brought down the economy.
And saying that, back then, everybody said, oh, no, nothing will happen. There's not going to be a crash.
Right.
Remember the same kind of thing that we're hearing now, oh, no, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. You know,
we saw it 2 years before the crash happened.
Right. Yeah. A lot of us
all did. The indicators were there.
Yeah. And so going back to cycles and stuff, if you stop and think about it, that's why I say it probably started before that, is because if you start looking at history, you can start seeing a lot of the same peaks and valleys, whatever you want to call them. The candlestick.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of different ways to view that.
Well, and when you start back in the 70s, you took us off the gold standard. We had different administrations, and it was much more of a slow debasing of the of the currency.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, as more world events happened, and as we kept kicking the can down the road, I remember hearing various politicians saying, we got to stop kicking the can down the road. We have too much debt in this country. And next thing you know, before the 2008 crash, we were, we had billions owed on our balance sheet deficit. We're now to $32 trillion since 2008. It's just incredible.
And before we go on, I was going to say about kicking the can down the road, you heard that, but then when it came budget time or anything, oh, no, we have to approve the budget. You know, it's like, no, we don't.
Budget reconciliations, and it was just, it just continued on. But out of the 2008 financial crash, Bitcoin was born.
Right afterwards in 2009.
I just don't think it was any kind of a surprise. I think that this was all part of the big plan. When you look back on things, is that there had to be a financial system to replace the one that was crashing. And it was going to be a slow move. It was going to take time to get people to adopt this new currency. And how is it going to fit in our country as well as the world economy? We talk about adoption. And now when you look around the world, there are unbanked people who are using Bitcoin. They're now in a quote-unquote banking system without having to go to a physical bank and be a member of a bank. This was not just happenstance. This was by design.
And I think that some people miss the true importance of not having to rely on a bank. In America, it's something easily taken for granted because, in general, we throw a fit over a failed transaction, we get our money fixed or whatever, and we can all go to the bank and open an account. If you're in, I couldn't even guesstimate at the percentage of the world, but there are parts of the world, cities, different religious factions and such, where your race could exclude you from a bank, your gender, your age, all kinds of things, whereas decentralized currency is currency without discrimination.
Right.
Well, and to that point there's some places they can't even get to a bank.
And then if you're wondering where that bank becomes significant, oh, well, good for them. They're not having to use a credit card, poor them. Imagine ordering anything online, which we all do on a very regular basis, mm-hmm. or just not having to worry about getting your house robbed and all of your stuff gone, especially if you're in one of these less secure areas.
Right.
So that all of the advantages of the banks without any of the mistrust or disadvantages, and that's extremely significant on where ledger blockchain technology and a public ledger is replacing the current financial system.
So we have a Federal Reserve System that's supposed to regulate the money supply. So in 2009, why was BlackRock tapped by the Federal Reserve to balance out the markets?
That's a good question.
Why would that happen? Any ideas, anybody? Does it seem somewhat suspicious to you, being BlackRock is one of the largest hedge fund companies in the world, and they just happen to be, well, when they balanced out the market, they really bought out a lot of the real estate that was upside down.
They're one of the world's largest property holders.
They are one of the largest property managers. They manage all that property. What was that?
By a large margin, too.
Very much, yes.
Yes.
So, Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum, and this, we'll say it again, he did say just recently, you will own nothing and you will be happy.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, the path forward to this. What more can you do to people to demoralize them than to crush their currency? Crush the economy. I mean, we're having some good times right now. We're at full employment. The inflation aspects really hasn't hit people yet. I just read this morning that, you know, we have baby formula in the country now, but it's limited. It's locked up behind, it's locked up. It's like going to the pharmacy and saying, hey, can you unlock, you know, some, sinus medication for me? Because, you know, they want to control who's getting it and how much of it you're getting.
So what's next? That's my question.
Toilet paper?
Whatever we choose it to be, when we choose it, you know.
Yeah. Are they going to say you can only have, you know, four rolls of toilet paper for your family? Or,
you know, you need to get on that treadmill there, Chris, and get to work. If you want
indeed.
That toilet paper, you know, I'm just saying.
So also what was interesting in the crash of 2008 is in the past recessions, crashes happened fairly quickly, and they recovered fairly quickly. You know, you'd have about an 18-month, two-year period of time. This road to the bottom took a long time. It wasn't really until 2011, 2012 before the housing market finally bottomed out. It was a controlled, slow burn down. They didn't allow it to happen naturally. I remember our installed president at the time, Obama, that was his Obama years at the time, and he'd say, well, we want a 1% growth rate. We want to control this economy. We don't want it to grow so quickly. Well, they didn't want it to decline so quickly.
That was it. That they were trying to cover up for the decline so it wouldn't drop so quickly.
And you could print more money have more stimulus into the economy so that we can bloat government and create more governmental agencies has way too much control than we want any of these agencies to have. They're not elected. So as we move along, you know, down the this progression, we had 2019. And what did the World Economic Forum do at that time? They had pandemic preparedness.
Yeah, for something they had no idea was going to happen, right?
Well, they expected some sort of bat virus to go. And they were having a preparedness time about that.
Right. And we were already creating it. But, we got to prepare the masses for this.
And, you know, we're trying not to be political here, you know. But this is just too in our face to not pay attention to this. So what happens at the end of 2019? We start having people get sick with weird, funky pneumonias, right?
A lot of weird stuff went on.
People were getting really sick, and there were no explanations for it. And then by the time, what it was at March of 2020, we're now into a shutdown. And it was supposed to be, 14 days to slow the spread?
Yeah, what are we, 2 years later?
Yeah. Then we went into job and business losses. We've worked ourselves into two different camps. You're not wearing a mask, and you know you want to wear a mask, and all these kinds of things.
Are you jabbed?
Are
or
you
not
jabbed or not jabbed? You know, ooh, you're evil. Stay away from me. If you know you're not wearing a mask, kind of thing. And we've lost the ability to do the critical thinking about what's happening here, and make some very difficult decisions, because we can't rely on the people we've given trust to. We've talked so many times on the show about trust and trustless systems, and we cannot trust the system that we've been trusting for a very, very long time. They betrayed that trust.
That's for sure. And it's not going to get any better until we start facing up to what's going on and be part of the solution, in my opinion.
Right.
And we do have some options for that.
And move away from the trust.
Exactly.
Yeah. And move away from the trust.
So we move into 2021, and the government keeps gaslighting us. They keep saying, we're going to fix the economy, and inflation is transitory. But Janet Yellen comes out, what is it, about 2 weeks ago, and says, I was mistaken. This is not transitory. This inflation is going to be with us for quite some time. Do you think that the person that controls the World Bank, basically, you know, one of the largest world banks, didn't know that this was coming? We all knew it was coming.
Well, I was going to say, it didn't make sure before she got out there and said, no problem.
Right.
This is all going to be good.
So
I got to walk it back.
Yeah, it's just, it's, so inflation is becoming systemic. It's just not here in the United States. It's in all countries. And it's very interesting times that we're in. It's somewhat scary, but it's times to sit back and realize what is really happening and what can you do to protect yourself at this point in time, because I think we're going to have some turbulence.
Oh,
it's
going to
be
totally
a rough
agree.
Ride, but yeah. We'll get through it, and we will be stronger as we come out the other end. And I just know from the last time, you know, I've been in the real estate arena for many, many years, and we had opened up a mortgage company in 2008. We had a business that failed in 2007. It was a business I worked at. And so we had people who were out of work. So we went and took upon ourselves and opened up a mortgage company. So we had a place where our people
jobs.
Can work, right?
Yeah.
And the banks that were there to supply us with the funding were going bankrupt right underneath us. I mean, one day we'd come into the office, and next thing you know, the bank had closed at 3 o'clock in the morning. Commissions that were owed were not paid. There were people that were being hurt, not only us, but all around the country. Now, imagine this is going on all around the world, and it's just not in the mortgage industry. We're seeing it now in the housing industry, of course, but we look at supply chain. Look at our food manufacturing, you know, our chickens and pigs and the cattle farms.
There is so much of that that's being disruptive.
Yes.
That you can see now that is closing, like you say, you know, in the middle of the night type thing. And, you know, everybody's going to hurt, unfortunately. But I agree with you. Is we'll come out the other side. What is good about this, not only because of cryptocurrency, but people become very inventive. They start relying on each other. They start uniting and educating one another. This is a big deal. That's one thing that's been great about America, is we have our freedoms still. Not all of the freedoms, but we're still able to do that with one another.
Right, right.
So we can come out the other side very well.
And I do think when it comes to crypto, winners and losers have already been chosen. I think on the banking side of things, if you go back to the Wells Fargo clip that we played earlier, the banks, they want a central bank digital currency. Now, what will that be? What would it resemble? Well, if you look towards XRP, XLM, Algorand, Cardano, these are ISO 20022 compliant cryptocurrencies. And the ISO 20022 is a it's a transmission system, and it's standardized transmission system so that they can have instantaneous payment. So if you're standardized on that system and it and the banks want you to use it, well, then you are in their camp. Okay, this is what they want.
Then they have the control
right.
over it.
Now, will there be a Fed coin? I think that
possibly.
I think the Gov coin, whatever they're calling it, I think they're going to introduce that, and it might end up replacing the likes of maybe food stamps or Medicaid cards right now, so that
Social Security maybe.
Maybe down the road.
Yeah.
But I think it will be something to where some people are getting supplemental income. Maybe not Social Security just yet, but supplemental income to where the federal government can dictate what kind of food you're buying. So if you go into the store right now and you'll see, you know, WIC. This is a WIC-approved
right.
Purchase. So if you're on WIC and you want the product next to the WIC chosen one, well,
you
that's
have
not
to pay
people,
for it, but
that's
it's
right.
not included. Yes.
So they're telling you that, you know, you need to – you know, you need this block of cheese, okay? You can't have this other block of cheese.
Right.
Okay? And so that's how they have control in the market. The more that they can control you, the more control they have over everything that you do.
Right.
And this is much more serious because they can turn off your cryptocurrency. What if when they bring in the CBDC and they're introducing it to everybody and they say, hey, this is a really cool thing. This is something that can run off your cell phone. And why don't we give you $10,000 here in cryptocurrency, you know, the government coin. But you've got a month to spend it in. And if you don't spend it, it's going away.
And guess what? You can only buy these items.
Right.
Well, with that $10,000.
They may let you buy what you want to start
maybe.
With. Maybe. But they may not. They may just say, hey, this is only for food, that type of thing. You can't go out and buy alcohol. You can't go buy marijuana. You can't go do any of that
stuff
with it.
I can't go gamble?
No gamble.
Oh, no gambling.
No
Jeez.
Gamble.
Jeez.
So,
oh,
you know, this is just looking too suspicious for it to not look like it's
well,
been a
how
setup.
How about this? Wonder if I have money in Wells Fargo. I have fiat dollars.
Okay.
And they decide to go to the other system. And they take my fiat dollar and they exchange it over there.
Well, they could. I think what they're going to end up doing is that before they go ahead and just hit us over the head with a CBDC, I think that they're going to have a stable coin. They're going to have to select some sort of decentralized currency. It might be a Bitcoin and gold type of standard type of coin. It might be, you know, I think that there will always be some sort of other type of currency. But when you let me put it a different way, they're going to eliminate the middle class. So
right.
if you're very wealthy, you're going to have a lot of opportunities to spend and invest the way that you wish. If you're part of the working class and you are under the auspices of a CBDC, kind of like what they're doing in China, then you have much less opportunity to do what you wish.
I just worry about for people out there, you know, not us because we're not going to be part of that system. Is we all know when they have a run on the banks or whatever, and the bank closes their door, and they say, guess what, Chris? Your $10,000, you're out of luck. You don't get it. But
you just did a buy-in.
You just did a buy-in. Exactly. You got it. Now, either you get nothing or this is what you get.
Right.
That's it.
That's why you should be out of banks, just my opinion. If you're going to have your money anywhere, be in a credit union because you're going to at least have a share of the ownership in the credit union.
Right.
You're just in a much better place. They're not under the Dodd-Frank bill there.
Yeah.
See, that's good to know. I was wondering about that.
Yes, it's a much better place to be. And if you do read the small print in the bank, it will say that you will be subject to a bail-in.
Well, I'm curious now because I've been since October being charged a bank fee.
For?
I don't know what.
So, probably because they're instituting their digital currency system and you're going to pay for it.
Well, I do know some of the accounts that I work with. All of a sudden, now you have a monthly fee. You have a paper fee.
Yeah.
If you don't want to get your bank statements online and do it all online, then you get charged a fee.
Well, see, I do everything digital, too. I do all my checks on my phone. Well, it said in a letter I got that I'm going to be charged a fee if I'm under a certain amount.
Oh.
But I've been over that amount, and I'm still getting charged.
Mm-hmm. So, fun little segue onto where crypto gets extra fun for everyone.
Yeah.
Every time money moves, every time someone holds it or whatever, there's a transaction fee on it. And they usually get to make a little bit of extra money on that transaction fee because it's not like they're actually sending money to a different bank every time you swipe your card and then just going back and forth on this crazy system. Well, with digital currency, there is a transaction fee, and it's typically extremely minute, and that's paid to everyone that's holding the public ledger. So it's essentially everyone that's mining Bitcoin. They're all the bankers, and whenever they win the mining fee, that's their reward for being a banker. Except they can't go screw up with your account, and they can't enter something by accident and have a hold on it or whatever. And then you don't have any bank holding fees or anything like that because the transaction fee, the entirety of it, there's nothing behind in the background. It's all paid within your transaction. You can see what you're paying.
Yeah.
Well, your transaction fee is actually paying for work being done.
Exactly.
It's just not for the privilege of having your account sitting there. You know, we've just got a couple of minutes left, and really what you can do right now to help yourself is if you are overextended, do anything and everything that you can to bring yourself in to where you are not using credit and that you can put a little bit of money away. If you have to cut back on something or go get another job while you can, I would do it and get yourself out of debt.
And get assets.
Acquire assets. If you're lucky to do that.
Little at a time. You don't have to get discouraged because you can't go out and spend $1 million or whatever it is. There's other assets out there you can slowly acquire,
but
little bit at a time.
But debt is really what keeps you in prison, and they want you indebted. So get out of debt as quickly as you possibly can, and then you can improve your situation by buying various assets. Okay?
Leverage.
Yes. We've seen this before, and I know I've worked through, and you have too, 4 recessions. The last one was pretty bad, and I think this one is going to be probably the doozy of them all.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, and like you say, think ahead.
Yes. Think ahead.
Think ahead and food.
Yes, and stock up where you can.
Yep.
Okay. So, anyway, sorry about the doom and gloom here on Father's Day, but this is important stuff. And you know what? Bitcoin's not going to zero. Cryptos are not going away.
No.
If Bitcoin goes to zero, I will be the biggest Bitcoin holder.
I don't know. I think you might have a run for your money on that one. I think a lot of people will be jumping on that.
And that's why it won't go to zero.
And with that, we're coming to the end of the show. Thank you very much, everybody. Great conversation. Thank you, Travis. We will surely miss you.
Oh, yeah, miss you there.
And you can always call into our show and ask questions.
Yes. And you find us at tokensradioshow.com.
Climb aboard, y'all. This train is bound for glory. And there's plenty of room for all. Well, Satoshi Nakamoto, that's a name I love to say. And we don't know much about him, but he came to save the day. When he wrote about the way things are and the way things ought to be, he gave us all a protocol this world had never seen. Oh, Bitcoin, as you're going into the old blockchain, oh, Bitcoin.
everybody knows, till everybody knows your name.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.